Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Southern Farm and Garden, a beautiful handcrafted agricultural journal. Subscribe today at southernfarmandgarden.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Greetings and welcome to Animal Instinct here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher. I'm also known as the Food Healer. And today is the last show of the season, so I'll be back in 2 weeks with new episodes. And I'm really excited to be closing out the season with cat behavior expert Pam Johnson-Bennett. Pam has written 8 books. She is definitely one of the leading cat animal behaviorists out there. And it's a really interesting topic because we don't know that much about cat behavior before Pam showed up. So we're going to talk to her in about 2 seconds. So, Pam, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show. I know you're super, super busy these days with your book tour, but I'm honored to have you on. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much, and I'm honored to be the last show.
We did it special for you, babe. I'm psyched so we can close out with a bang. So I'm just absolutely thrilled to have you on.
Thank you.
So I'd like to just get started, if that's okay with you.
Absolutely.
Cool. All right, so first question. You've been involved in cat behavior for a really long time. What originally got you interested in the topic?
Well, I adopted 2 kittens many years ago, and I proceeded to completely mess them up. I did everything wrong, and when I went to try to find information about cats, there weren't any books about cat behavior.
Yeah.
There were a lot of dog training books, but there was nothing about cats. And when I went to the veterinarian to ask for behavioral help, the answer, and you have to keep in mind this was many years ago, was they're untrainable. So just get rid of them and start over again with 2 new cats. So I went home and I looked at these 2 kittens. Well, actually, they were 3 years old by then.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured, I did this. I didn't understand. I messed them up, and I've got to figure out how to fix it. And I just started paying attention to the cats.
Mm-hmm.
And it changed. It kind of became that think like a cat attitude that I'm known for. And eventually people started asking me to help with their cats because they saw the change in my cats.
Mm-hmm.
And wonderfully, the veterinarian who had told me to get rid of them started asking me to work with his clients.
Awesome.
So it was an accidental career, but it was meant to be.
That's awesome. And you know, it's funny, that's how I got into animal nutrition, is I got a Jack Russell and I did everything wrong with him nutritionally. And so that's what got me to look into it as well. So I love that. I love the fact that, you know, you couldn't find this information, so you decided you were going to create it yourself and really pay attention. So thank you for that, especially from the cat world.
Right.
And so why do you think that accurate information on cat behavior is so recent?
Well, it has become very trendy.
Mm.
You know, there's a popular TV show about cats. People are becoming more fascinated with them. The internet has certainly helped because cats, you know, as you know, the last few years have become the stars of the internet.
Totally.
So I think people are realizing how wonderful they are. And it's wonderful to see the field build. The bad part of that is there are a lot of people who don't know what they're talking about who can open up a business on the internet. So if you are having behavior problems with your cat,
mm-hmm.
please do your homework. Go to the veterinarian first. Make sure it's not a medical problem. And then if you are recommended to a behavior expert, do your homework and make sure that that person has credentials.
And so if for someone who might be looking online that just doesn't even know where to begin, what kind of credentials are we looking for?
Well, you can go to a veterinary behaviorist, and you can. They are veterinarians who have done extra study in behavior.
Cool.
You can go to a certified applied animal behaviorist.
Mm-hmm.
There are also certifying agencies like the International Association of Animal Behavior Consultants, and I'm certified through them.
Cool.
So you just want to make sure that you look at that person's credentials. And it's just not someone who said, oh, I've loved cats for 20 years and people call me the cat whisperer. You want to make sure they understand the science of behavior.
Totally. Totally. And I think that's a really, really good point to bring up as well. And, you know, there are some people out there that are just really gifted with cats, but it doesn't mean that they have the credentials or that they're even capable of explaining what their knowledge is to somebody else so that they can actually utilize it correctly.
Right. And I speak from experience because when I started out, you know, I made a lot of mistakes helping other people because there wasn't information out there. But now there is information. There are behaviorists with credentials. So if you choose the wrong person, it can really have devastating effects on your cat.
Makes sense. It makes complete sense. Well, here's a question for you, because, as you know, there's different methods of dog training. And so, you know, some are reward only, some are punishment. Are there this kind of extremes as well in cat behavior?
Well, luckily, the people who are in cat behavior, the people who have credentials, understand that you want to do positive training. You really do want
Good.
To look at the environment from the cat's point of view. The problem comes from cat parents who have that attitude that the cat is misbehaving out of spite,
mm-hmm.
and then they do punishment. So that's where it's important to really look at the environment and the problem from the cat's point of view so that you don't do more damage.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And so your last book, Think Like a Cat, really, really changed the way people think about cat training to the point where it's actually known as the Cat Bible. So congratulations on that. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Why do you think this book was so revolutionary?
Well, I think it was the first book that really showed the whys behind a behavior, not just that, okay, if your cat is urinating outside of the litter box, here are the steps to take. It was, here are the reasons why it could be happening from your cat's point of view. So I really tried to have the readers look at the world from their cat's point of view so that they could not only solve whatever current problem they were having,
mm-hmm.
but they could avoid problems in the future.
So smart. So smart. And it's, you know, so much of animal communication, especially with cats, are such tiny little subtle signals, you know, that it's like, I have two cats now, and until I had these two together, I really didn't understand the nuances. And now that I've sat around and watched them for hours at a time to see, like, even like one little whisker twitch.
Exactly.
Is a huge right. amount of information that'll set my tuxedo cat into a total tizzy. You know, it's like,
And when you think about it, they're masters of communication. They're
yeah.
giving you so many signals about things, you know, whether it's scent communication or body language or vocalization. They are masters of it because cats don't like physical confrontation, and that's why they do a lot of the posturing that they do to avoid fights.
Mm-hmm.
They basically want to tell you, "Hey, I'm bigger, and you know, I'm big and bad. Don't mess with me."
Yeah.
So if you pay attention to what they're telling you by their behavior, sometimes those subtle things can really make a difference in whether the bond you share strengthens or whether it deteriorates.
Mm-hmm. And then it's like, that's the thing. I mean, with cats, you know, with dogs, I don't like punishment on any animal. You know what I mean? Like, spanking a dog or a cat or a horse or whatever usually doesn't bring you the right outcomes. But it's like, if you're aggressive with a cat, I mean, I've seen it. I worked in a vet's office. I've seen someone strike a cat and the cat has gone after them. I've seen incredibly bad reactions because it's such an extreme for a feline.
Right, and it's a natural response to defend because if you're punishing, then you are assuming your attitude is that the animal is doing something wrong. They're misbehaving.
Mm-hmm.
And animals don't misbehave. They exhibit behaviors we don't like, but there's a reason for it. It always makes sense to the cat. So mm-hmm. if you punish the cat, you don't solve the problem. All you do is then add another problem on there where the cat feels defensive and is fearful of you. And so punishment, there's no room for punishment in training at all.
Makes sense.
No room for it.
And it's especially because it's like, you know, it's with like reaction times and things like that as well. I don't know about this, so please correct me if I'm wrong, but it just seems that like, you know, cat quote unquote misbehaves, cat's doing cat thing, person says no, you know, stop it, Fluffy, or whatever, and some will smack him or hit him with water or something like this. And I feel like the amount of time for the reaction, then the cat reacts and it's like, oh God, what did I do? And then it's like punishment. So immediately you're not even getting, I don't feel like the punishment is being communicated for the action at that point either. It's kind of like crazy person screams and then gets me wet. I don't know
right.
why this
and
is.
And many times it's for a behavior the cat needs to do. You know, an example is the cat scratching on the furniture. Well, we don't like that. So we either smack the cat or yell at him, chase him away or squirt him with water. Mm-hmm. But the cat has a natural need to scratch. So by yelling at him, you're telling him this thing that I need to do, I still need to do it, but now I have to be more secretive about it because I have to worry about you.
Totally.
So if we look at it from the think like a cat attitude, why is the cat scratching the furniture? Well, there are many reasons. You know, it's how they condition their claws, it's mm-hmm. a displacement behavior, it's scent marking, it's stretching. So if the cat is scratching the couch, maybe it means we don't have a scratching post that's a good one. Maybe we don't have one at all.
Yep.
Or maybe it's located in the wrong place. So if you look at the cause of the behavior, why is the cat needing to do this, and how can I supply an alternative that makes me happy but also satisfies the cat,
mm-hmm.
then you become a problem solver that helps strengthen the bond between the two of you.
Totally. Totally. And then cat can do what cat is on earth to do.
Exactly. And you don't get frustrated.
Yeah, and the whole, like, I need to say this to the listeners. If your solution to your cat scratching up your furniture is declawing, that's really wrong. And a lot of people, the old thought was that, you know, oh, we just removed the nails. Actually, you're removing to the first digit, to the first knuckle.
Right,
and it's excruciating.
It's an amputation. And cats can be trained, and it just takes the right kind of scratching post in the right location. And cats have claws for a reason, and they are a vital part of their the essence of being a cat.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's the type of thing, I mean, you know, it's if you put yourself in the cat's shoes, you know, and so you're just doing whatever it is, and it's like, oh, we're going to cut off part of your fingers so that we stop this. Cats
right.
that are declawed will still try to claw because that's their inherent behavior. So, you know, yes, your stuff isn't being trashed, but now you have a cat who could very possibly be in chronic pain for the rest of its life. Every declawed cat that I know, because they've lost this major defense mechanism, tends to bite.
Right.
And cat bites hurt.
You can end up with all these secondary behavior problems. So if you are a new cat parent, please get educated on the importance of the cat claws, and cats can be trained.
Here's a question for you, because people ask me this all the time. I worked in a vet's office for 4 years, and so it was dog, cat, and some small exotics. Once in a blue moon, we would get a cat that came in that was so terrified that it was just basically out of control and in almost, not really a frenzy, but just so aggressive and just, you know, all from fear because they don't know what's going on. So they're trying to defend themselves. And sometimes, I mean, it got really pretty intense. Have you ever had a client that you were just like, oh my God, this is too scary, I can't deal with this?
No, I have not. Now, if you keep pursuing the cat, which unfortunately in some cases, you know, at a veterinary clinic, you know, procedures have to get done.
Yeah.
But if you keep pursuing the cat, that's where you get in trouble. If you just back off and give the cat a choice,
mm-hmm.
give them a place to hide so that they can have their bearings. Sometimes that can just be, you know, a paper bag opened up in the cage in the veterinary clinic.
Oh, wow.
But if they're that terrified, you just have to back off so they can get a breather. And luckily, you know, speaking of veterinary clinics, veterinarians are so much more aware and sensitive to helping cats have a better experience. Dr. Marty Becker has the Fear Free initiative. There are the late Dr. Sophia Yen had started the low stress handling. So veterinarians are setting up their clinics and educating their staff to try to make that experience much less stressful for the cat. And as a cat parent, you can do it starting at home by getting them comfortable with being handled, having the cat comfortable in the carrier, traveling by car, so that it's not this traumatic experience from the time the carrier comes out of the closet.
That was my last cat who was a rescue who, oh my God, I mean, the minute the carrier appeared, this poor thing, it broke my heart, you know? It was like, you pull out the carrier and it was like, dun, dun, dun!
Yeah, and that's where training from, you know, especially if you adopt a kitten, all right, here's this little kitten or your brand new cat who is very healthy, and you don't think down the road, you know, when that cat's 3 years old, 5 years old, 10 years old, that cat is going to need medication. That cat has to go to the veterinarian every year.
Totally.
So start preparing for that early in terms of, you know, touching the cat's ears, you know, in a very gentle way, touching around the mouth, get used to touching the paws so that you'll be able to clip claws, make the experience in the carrier positive, you know, putting treats in there, feeding the cat in there. All of the stuff that you do now with that kitten will really pay off when that cat is an adult cat. And you go to the clinic one day and the veterinarian says, oh, your cat has an ear infection. You've got to give this medication in the ear twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've never been able to handle your cat, that's going to be a rough experience.
Oh, God, it's going to be the worst. And it's just going to get worse and worse every application.
Right. So prepare in advance. Make it a positive experience and train. It's never too late. It's never too early, rather, to start training.
Oh, my God, Pam, I love you. You're so logical. This is like, I'm really, really enjoying this interview. It's just, it's, and this is what I love about it, is when people really know their animals and they know what they're doing, it all makes sense.
Right. And, you know, my whole career, everything that I try to educate is to strengthen the bond. And a big part of that is helping your cat not be afraid, being able to give that cat the best veterinary care, and being able to groom your cat, being able to have the relationship you wanted. Because nobody rescues or buys or adopts a cat with the hope that the cat's going to hide under the bed all day
totally.
Long, or in the closet, or you can't touch the cat and nobody ever sees it. We don't want that.
Yeah.
But the way to avoid that and to have the relationship you want is to start from the very beginning with very gentle training.
Makes total sense to me. I think it sounds great. We need to take a quick break for station identification. I am speaking to cat behavior expert Pam Johnson Bennett. Come on back. We're going to talk about her book next.
This episode is brought to you by Southern Farm and Garden, a beautiful, handcrafted agricultural journal. Each issue features stories about food history, seasonal recipes, artisanal products, and the amazing people who bring it to your table. Packed with stunning photography, the content is fresh and educational. Southern Farm and Garden takes you behind the scenes to meet farmers, gardeners, wineries, chefs, and artists who are passionate about creating healthy, unique, and sustainable food and products that you can enjoy all year. Are you interested in eating healthier and learning more about where your food comes from and living a more connected life? Subscribe today to southernfarmandgarden.com. Foodtank.com names Southern Farm and Garden one of the top 20 magazines for people who eat, cook, and grow, praising it for connecting readers with the food, the farms, and the stories behind our food system. Subscribe today or find a retailer near you at southernfarmandgarden.com.
Hey, like what you hear? Heritage Radio Network has plenty more. With fresh programming every week, we've got something for everyone. Trying to start your own food business? Concerned about where your food comes from? Looking for the best wine or beer to bring to a party? Find our shows on iTunes or Stitcher, or head to heritageradionetwork.org to listen live and subscribe to our newsletter.
And we are back. I'm talking to cat behavior expert Pam Johnson Bennett all about her new book. Actually, we were going to talk about that now. Pam, I want to talk about Catwise. When was it originally released? Sorry.
It was released in the fall of 2016.
And what's it about?
Well, it is, I basically kind of emptied out my head. I tried to tell you everything, answer every question that I get on cat behavior. And the reason I did it as a question and answer format, the answers are very comprehensive. But with more and more people going to the internet and going on Google and typing in their question and going to whatever website and getting, you know, maybe accurate information and maybe not, I wanted to create a book where you could read it cover to cover, because it starts with kittens and goes all the way to geriatric.
Cool.
Or if you wanted to just go to the exact problem you were having, you could go there. It would be very easy to be a problem solver. And that way, I knew that readers would get accurate information because, you know, as I said, the internet is a great place, but there's a lot of bad information out there.
I mean, honestly, what percentage of cat behavior information online do you think is accurate?
I would say less than 50%.
Wow. Okay. So, yeah, you guys do your homework if you want the information. Or, you know, just find Pam Johnson Bennett and, you know, that's one way to do it.
I tried to make it easy for you. Yep.
Well, that's the thing, too, is you got to keep it easy, you know. If we start getting into, like, all kinds of big words and stuff, then it's like, ooh, too hard, you know.
Yeah, I tried to make it readable. If my daughter can read it, you know, anyone can read it.
Oh, I love it. And I want to talk about your book tour. I'm really excited about this for you. Where are you going?
Well, we're actually doing a book tour at cat cafes, and it's the Catwise Cat Cafe book tour. It's sponsored by Wellness Pet Food.
Awesome.
And we wanted to do something different. Cat cafes have become so popular, and it's another way to adopt. It's a great way to go in and spend time with these cats, because, you know, the cats are adoptable. And it's a great way to do it, because a lot of people, or maybe not a lot of people, but many people don't like going into shelters. They feel depressed. They feel intimidated.
Yeah.
This way, it's very casual. You can spend time with a cat. Maybe you can't adopt a cat because of where you live, but you can spend time with a cat. Maybe you just want to get to know cats. So I wanted to highlight this other form of adoption. And surprisingly, as popular as cat cafes are, many people still don't know about them. So we wanted to spotlight that, and so we're traveling around the country, hitting some of the really popular cat cafes, and I'm really honored that it's being presented by Wellness. Wellness is donating at every stop 1,000 meals for the cats at the shelter connected with each cat cafe, so that those cats will have really good nutrition as they're waiting for their forever homes. And also, for everyone who comes out to the cat cafes to see me, Wellness is giving them these absolutely gorgeous goodie bags that are filled with so much stuff. So even if you don't really want to come out and see me, come out and get a goodie bag. It's free.
That's awesome. And I'm so thrilled that it's a good pet food company that's actually doing this and not one of, like, the Evil Five. So that's amazing.
It's an excellent, you know, natural pet food, and the generosity of 1,000 meals at each stop is just tremendous.
Oh, that just makes me all warm and fuzzy inside. That's so great. And, I mean, I think the Cat Cafe tour is genius. I think that's the smartest thing I've heard ever, because, you know, at this point, too, a lot of bookstores are closing down. So if you did, like, the Barnes & Noble's tour, it'd be like you got three stops, you know?
Right. And also, you know, selfishly, I love bookstores and I love doing book tours, but I want to be around the cats. So this is, you know, selfishly, this is great for me, too. I get some extra cat time while I'm away from my cat.
Now, I know you're going to be in New York. Is it this week?
I am going to be at Meow Parlor in New York City on April 20th. Yep.
I love that place. I actually interviewed them about a year ago. They're lovely, lovely people, and their cats are awesome. New Yorkers, if you're looking for a kitty, go, because they're really, really good about vetting their animals, too.
Yeah, and if you go to our website, catbehaviorassociates.com, and click on the events, you can see everywhere we're going to be, and there's a link for the tickets. But we are, like I said, Meow Parlor on the 20th,
awesome.
And then the next day we're at Morgan's Cat Cafe in Red Hook, New Jersey.
Oh, cool.
And then April 22nd, we're at the Brooklyn Cat Cafe.
That's right near me.
Yes.
Exciting.
And then on April 23rd, we head to Philadelphia to be at the Kauai Kitty Cafe.
Oh, cool.
So we're hitting them 4 days in a row, and I'm so excited because I love the cat cafes.
Oh my God,
so it's going to be a lot of fun.
If I'm off, I'll come see you. This is so exciting.
Oh, I hope. Please do come see me.
I would love to. I'll take you to dinner. I live like 6 blocks away from there. This is perfect.
Well, that'll be great. Well, we're doing some, because the cat cafes are small. We're doing them in two shifts, so
nice.
People can through Eventbrite do their reservations for the time that they want. But I'm excited, and I hope this also, you know, maybe gets some cats adopted.
I hope so too. I mean, I can't imagine that it wouldn't. And it's just such a smart move, because if you want to find cat people, go to the cafe.
Yeah,
it's so brilliant, and I'm kind of amazed it hasn't been thought of before, to be honest with you.
Well, me too, but I'm glad we're doing it.
Hell yeah.
and then in June we head out to Portland and Seattle.
Cool.
So we're trying to cover everywhere, and we came back from Orlando. We did that cat cafe. So it's so much fun. It's just wonderful. I mean, to be around cat people and the cats and books, that's the perfect world for me.
That sounds pretty good. I'll take it. I like that too. And so your goal for the Cat Cafe, or doing the Cat Cafe tour, obviously it's about selling books and transferring information and also getting these cats adopted. Any other reasons why you chose it?
Even though I'm an author, and obviously, you know, I make my living, you know, and I want people to buy books, mm-hmm. my goal from the very beginning, from the very first day I started doing my business, is to educate.
Yeah.
If there's one person, and I know it sounds corny, but if there's one person with one cat that by hearing me talk or reading an article or can change their relationship with their cat, that's everything. Because sometimes it's just one cat at a time.
Mm-hmm.
But that changes that person's relationship with that cat. That's why I do this. There are other things that I could do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I want to do because I want that relationship to change. So by doing the cat cafes, you're any way that I can reach people.
I love it.
That's what I want.
And now I have to ask you this just because it just sounds so good. At one time, you were the host of Nat Geo's Wild Animal Planet show, Psycho Kitty.
Right.
What was that like?
Well, it was strange. but we did a season of showing what I do for a living, going into houses and working with cats. And we tried to make it a very realistic, you know, this is the type of problems that typical cat owners face,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to make the solutions very doable. A lot of homemade things, a lot of very doable things.
Nice.
Not over the top, not expensive. And so I enjoyed that because I really wanted to educate people with that. The bad part about it is I'm a mom of two kids, mm-hmm. and I don't like being away from my kids.
Fair enough.
So that was the hard part. But, again, it was just trying to educate. And that's why even on my website,
mm-hmm.
we have a lot of articles that I just try to put out the education, because that's what I want. Because I know cats will end up in shelters. I know
yeah.
cats are going to be abandoned. But
yeah.
if we can reduce that, if someone feels, hey, I'm not going to give up on my cat, that's what I want.
And that's huge.
It is, because, you know, the thing is, if you can change somebody's mind about how they're training a cat, then even when that cat passes away,
mm-hmm.
you have changed that, whatever cats they get after that, you've changed that history for that cat parent,
totally.
So that all the other cats that follow will have a better life because of that education. So that's how I look at it when it's one cat at a time. It's that I'm going to change, you know, that cat owner for, you know, for life. That's what I want.
And I mean, that's huge, because so much of what I've found about doing this show is that so much of what the individual learns about a dog or a cat or, you know, a house pet, basically, is either from their past when they were children and the parents had pets, or, you know, relatives, or it's like, wake up one day, I think I want a dog or a cat. I think I'll just go get one, you know. And so a lot of the things that people for some reason just think that like, well, I'm a dog trainer, you know, or I know everything I need to know about cats. And
right.
it's so
right.
much
they,
more
they
than
either
that.
Use the dog training methods because they grew up with dogs, so they think, well, a cat and a dog, they've got a tail and fur and four legs.
Totally.
You know, they're interchangeable, and they're not. Or, like you said, you know, they get advice from what their parents did or neighbors. And especially with cats, people go into it very often with that misconception of all the myths and the old wives' tales that they've heard, you
yeah.
know, whether it's that cats are evil or they're untrainable or, you know, black cats are bad luck, all those things.
Yep.
So cats come into our lives with so much baggage that they shouldn't have to have because of what we've put on them.
You know what's nuts is that when I was working at the vet's office, the most common that kind of question that would come about cats was always these people that honestly believed that when they had an infant that the cat would sleep on the child and steal their breath.
Steal the breath.
Yep.
Right. Steal the breath from babies, or if a woman came in who was pregnant, oh, we've got to get rid of the cat.
Yep.
I get many calls from people saying, well, I just found out my wife is pregnant. We've got to get rid of the cat. Can you help me rehome it?
Mm.
And it's just that persists without really understanding the information.
Yeah.
And who suffers? The cat suffers.
Always.
All the time.
Always.
So that's what we have to change, is getting that information out.
And so what do you think are the most common misconceptions that the average person has about cats?
I think they think that they are untrainable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole dogs have masters, cats have slaves. So
totally.
they go into that relationship with that feeling that, well, I'm not even going to bother training him because he's never going to pay attention to me.
Yeah.
And that's where you have to, that's the think like a cat attitude. You know, why does the cat maybe not come when you call? Well, how have you trained him? Did you train him the right way?
Yeah.
And keep in mind, this animal is a predator. He's very aware of his environment. Maybe he doesn't want to sit on your lap and look at you. Maybe he wants to sit on your lap and look out at the environment.
Mm-hmm.
That shows a lot of trust. So it's a matter of we've got to get ourselves educated and really understand. But people start out very often with the, well, I'm not even going to bother because they're not trainable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest one. And then the other one is, and people do this with dogs too, that they think the behavior is motivated by spite.
Totally.
That this animal is sitting around at night going, what can I do to really make my owner mad?
Totally.
You know?
Totally. So, oh my God.
That
yeah.
they have that, you know, they have this capability for this punitive thought that, oh yeah, I'm going to go pee on the carpet over there because I really love when she chases me around the house, you know, with the newspaper smacking me.
Totally.
You know, so those are the big ones. That's it. You know, I get calls or emails, you know, my cat's mad at me. My cat is
mm-hmm.
peeing outside of the litter box out of spite.
Mm-hmm.
How can you get him to stop? And when you have that attitude right away, you're not going to solve the problem because you're going at it totally skewed.
Totally. And it also starts off with, like, you start with that chip on your shoulder, and it becomes a battle of wits. And meanwhile, like, you know, the owner or the dog, the human, is, like, aggressively, like, oh, yeah? You know, and the cat's just like, hey, I'm just doing my thing. Like, why
right.
are you so pissed?
And you have to feel so bad for the cat
yeah.
because maybe the cat is peeing outside of the litter box because he's in pain.
Yeah, totally.
Or maybe it's because you haven't cleaned the litter box in
Ugh.
4 weeks. You know,
Ugh.
we very often we don't do our part, but we expect the cat to do 100% of his part.
Thank you for saying that. It is so, I mean, truer words do not exist. That is so true. It happened at the vet's office, too. It'd be like, my cat's not using litter box. And, you know, interrogate, million questions. And then finally it would be like, well, I'm using this highly super scented stuff because the litter box stinks. When was the last time you cleaned out
right.
your litter box?
We do everything we can to
yep.
not do our responsibility. We get very scented litter. We get self-cleaning litter boxes.
Yep.
We put the litter boxes in the most remote locations that a cat would need GPS to find.
Totally.
You know, so we get covered litter boxes, which then become out of sight, out of mind.
Yep.
You know, and they're too cramped for the cat,
yep.
and they're awful, and the cat gets, if you have a multi-cat environment, the covered litter box becomes really
Ugh.
A death trap because the cat has no ability to escape. So we don't do our part, but yet we get mad when the cat does not use the litter box. And that, again, go back to think like a cat.
Yep.
If you are driving, if you're on a road trip and you stop at a gas station and you want to use the restroom and that restroom is filthy, dirty, or not safe,
mm-hmm.
you have the option to get in your car and go to another gas station, whereas the cat in your house is stuck.
Totally. Totally. Or risks getting beaten or yelled at or, you know,
right.
whatever the case may be.
Right. So it's just, and to me, dealing with the litter box is obviously not my favorite part of being a cat
yeah.
parent, you know, but that's my responsibility. And
mm-hmm.
it's also a very valuable diagnostic tool, because if you are regularly scooping and cleaning that litter box, you will know if the size of the urine clump has changed,
sure.
if the feces looks too hard, or there's diarrhea, or the cat hasn't used the box for a few days.
Yep.
That becomes a very valuable tool toward their health. So that's what I remember whenever, you know, I think, oh my gosh, I haven't scooped the litter box. Oh, what a pain. I better go do it. I keep in mind that my cat, who cannot tell me
mm-hmm.
when she's in pain, will depend on what I notice is or isn't happening in the litter box.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's also one of the first things a veterinarian will ask you when you take your cat
totally.
In.
Totally.
It's like, well, what's going on with litter boxes? You know, is the urination and defecation normal? Well,
yep.
gee, if you have a self-cleaning litter box, or you let your cat outside to eliminate, or you only scoop, you know, once a week, you can't answer those very important questions.
You know, and it's funny, too, because a lot of the reactions that you get from people is that don't like cats are like, ew, cats. I mean, ew, the litter box is so gross. It smells so bad. And it's like, not if you clean it every day. And honestly, it takes, what, a minute?
Yeah, it's very quick, and if the litter box stinks, it's because you're not doing your job.
Totally, and I mean, you know, and litter boxes that smell, like, can fill up an entire house with this scent, you know, and it's just, it's such a simple chore to do. And
right.
honestly, I feel like if you're not capable of either picking up your dog's poop outside or doing your cat's litter box every day, maybe you should get a plant.
Yeah, exactly. You know, this is a living creature who totally depends on you doing your part. And to me, that's part of how I show my love.
Totally.
So I'm going to do my part. And as a result, I have a cat we have a great relationship. She is loving. She responds to me. She's well-trained. She's showing me that she appreciates everything that I do.
And in terms of, you, like, I just want to clarify this for our listeners, too. When you're talking about, like, a trained cat, this isn't like, Fluffy, jump through the tube made of fire.
And you know what? You know? The thing is, it's funny you say that. You can do that. Cats are trainable.
Yeah.
You can do everything that you can, you know, train your dog to do. I'm talking about trained in terms of everyday life. Like,
yeah.
there are some really important things. My cat is trained to come when called. Now, that is an important tool so that I can find my cat when I need to.
Mm-hmm.
My cat is trained to go into the carrier. She doesn't freak out. She knows to go into the carrier because I trained her to be comfortable with that experience.
Mm-hmm.
My cat is comfortable being held because I did the training.
Mm-hmm.
So I can medicate my cat. I can
awesome.
Hold my cat. She's sociable because she was socialized to people. That's what I mean by training.
Yeah.
So that I've taken that fear so that when people come to visit, my cat doesn't go, oh, my gosh, run for the hills.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's awful. That's the type of training so that you are reducing unnecessary stress in their life.
And do you think that most cat stress is fear-based?
Yes. It's because they don't have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
When the fear is either resource threat, like if you have 10 cats and you're asking them to share
yeah.
two food bowls or three litter boxes, you know, or they're competing for places to sleep,
mm-hmm.
that becomes very fearful, that fear of that threat. And also when they don't have a choice.
Yeah.
You know, when you keep coming at them and you're not giving them a choice to be able to retreat, that's important. If a cat feels they have a place to retreat, a little hiding place, someplace where you won't bother them, then they'll be more likely to come out and engage with you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you back them in a corner, then they're not going to want to move.
Yeah, stand back. If they do, man, it's going to be ugly, boy.
Yeah. So always choice is the biggest thing. Give the cat the choice.
One of my favorite episodes that I did was with an animal communicator a couple years ago. And one of the things that she said that I loved, because it's so true, is that so many animals get confused and get upset because they just don't know what the hell is going on because no one has told them what is happening. And I feel like it's very similar with cats where it's just this, you know, we make these assumptions that they're going to get everything we do or just, you know, that they're born understanding humans.
Right. Or we don't give them any kind of adjustment time. Like the cat may be something simple, like the cat's enjoying sitting at the window, looking out the window. It's a beautiful sunny day. She's watching the birds. And you decide, oh, I want to go pick up my cat. And you just come up behind the cat and grab her.
Yeah.
You know, little things like just announcing your presence,
mm-hmm.
just coming in from the side so she can see you, or just call her name just so that she is not suddenly startled.
Yeah.
Those little things, you know, I get easily startled, you know,
I
when
do too.
Someone comes up behind me. That makes me defensive, so it would be nice, you know, I appreciate it when someone gives me a little bit of a heads up that, hey, I'm coming in the room, you know, and cats appreciate that too.
I hear you. I got the quietest roommate in the history of the world right now, and this guy scares the hell out of me every day. It's like all of a sudden he's just next to me, you know, and it's the same thing of like people and cats. It's like, oh my God! And so it's a running joke at this point, but yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, and again, just think of what you would appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, would you want to just be grabbed or, you know, do you want a little bit of a choice? I know for me, like when I go into a crowded room, I don't just walk right in and barge right in and feel totally
either.
Comfortable. I stand at the entrance to the room and I need to get my bearings
me
and
too.
Figure out, okay, where am I most comfortable? Where do I want to go? That's very cat-like, but that ability to have that choice makes me comfortable and able to move into the room. If I walked into the room and all of a sudden everybody started coming at me,
forget it. Oh my God,
I would retreat.
Out of there. Yeah, I'd be like, gotta go. See you later.
Exactly.
Totally. Okay, I have the weirdest, I bet this is the weirdest question you've ever been asked, but I'm hoping you know the answer because, and I swear to God I'm telling you the truth, nobody believes me on this. I have a Siamese cat who's rescued, and she's 6 now, and she had a terrible, we found her almost dead. Since then, she has blossomed into this amazing, amazing cat. She's the brains of the household, makes my other cat bananas all the time. Her favorite thing in the world is to be spanked. And I don't get this. Do you have any idea where this might be coming from? Or, like, it's just the weirdest thing. And she only likes certain people to spank her. But, I mean, she wants, her tail or her butt gets hot. And it's basically on her flank. It's not like we're not hitting her rear end. We're just kind of lightly smacking her flank. But she loves this. And is this related to, like, is this a breeding behavior or something? Like, I don't understand this.
She may, some cats have very specific petting preferences.
Yeah.
Some cats like very long strokes where you almost kind of stretch out the tail. Some cats don't like you touching the base of the tail.
Mm-hmm.
And so she may like the stimulation of that. That just, for her, petting may not be something that's that she enjoys for calming reasons. She may like it more for stimulation, you know, reasons. That's about the best
makes
I can
sense.
Give. I mean, that's kind
it's-
of...
So
strange.
Weird.
I have
yeah,
no cats
really
that really
weird.
Do like very stimulating petting.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't necessarily call it spanking. So, but
I know some, I
cats,
hate.
Some cats do like that. I would just make sure that she gets her stimulation and her energy release. And I'm sure you probably do this in a lot of playtime and a lot of satisfactory, you know, playtime that brings a lot of satisfaction. You know, where she gets
yeah.
to capture the toy and she gets to stalk and pounce and all of that. So that maybe that energy and that need for stimulation comes out in a more cat-like way.
Well, we've actually discovered is she was found in a dumpster up in Harlem. And so she's an indoor cat now because I live in Brooklyn. And what we discovered a couple years ago is that if we walk her on a leash or just bring her outside on a leash for 5 to 10 minutes on a nice day, it totally calms her down and turns her. She's just happy. It's exactly what she wants, you know? And so, you know, is it a pain in the neck? Yeah. On a sunny day when I'm late for work and she's at the door meowing and clawing at it frantically. Yeah, it's a pain in the neck. But let me tell you, doing this has changed this cat's life 100%.
Well, and that's she probably has a very high need for that kind of stimulation and those kind of experiences. The only thing, as a behavior expert, that I have to say
Please.
Is do not reward the meowing and clawing at the door with the very things she wants. You know, that's the only thing is I like to reward behavior that I want to see again, and that constant meowing and yowling and scratching at the door, if I reward that by letting, you know, taking her out on the leash, then I'm telling her, yes, that's how you get outside.
Yeah, so totally.
I would give her that reward when she's quiet, even if it's quiet for, you know, 10 seconds,
mm-hmm.
and then you build, you know, to where it's 15 seconds or 20 up to a minute. But I like to always reward behavior I want to see again.
That's a brilliant, point. Thank you. Yeah, she's funny with that. And it's, you know, it became a battle of wits at one point, and now it's kind of like, we're not in August yet. August, it usually gets a little intense when she wants to be out there all day. But no, it's a really, really good point. I don't want this happening every 10 seconds whenever the door's open. So thank you for that.
Right, especially Siamese, because, you know, their meows are hard to ignore.
Oh, this one runs the house. You know, it's totally like, oh, no, it's my house. No, it's Siri's apartment, and Elroy and I live there together, you know, basically. Mm-hmm. Well, Pam, I'm really bummed out. We're out of time. I really, really enjoyed this. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, thank you. It's my favorite subject. I love talking about cats, so I appreciate the time.
And so for people that want to find you and find your book, what website can we send them to?
You can go to our website, which is catbehaviorassociates.com, or you can also find me on Facebook. It's Pam.JohnsonBennett. Our website has so many articles. I mean, I love to sell books, but our website has a lot of articles. You can find information without having to spend a penny.
Cool. Thank you so much, huh?
Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, my God. It's my pleasure. This was a blast. And if I'm off next week, I promise you I'm going to track you down at the Cat Cafe.
Awesome.
Yay.
I'd love to meet you.
I would love
you.
It, too. Thank you. And for everybody else, I got a 2-week vacation coming up. I'm very excited. So chances are you will be hearing replays for the next 2 weeks. However, I'll give you a good episode. So, you know, tune in. Or you can just subscribe so that when the new episodes come up, you're getting them automatically, which is also pretty simple and easy. I wanted to give a shout out to the staff at Heritage Radio Network, for without them, my being here would be impossible. Especially to my engineer, Vitor Hirsch, who is amazing, who without him, I wouldn't be able to do what I do. He keeps me grounded. He keeps me laughing. He's an absolute doll, and I'm lucky to work with him. For all you guys, I hope you have a lovely few weeks. Don't miss me too much. I'll try not to miss you guys. And I will be seeing you in, I guess it would be May then. Take care.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.